from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
High and inside. Arching music. A little chin music. Take that hitter for a ride.
It's time for some chin music.
Hey, Hop. How about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, Inside the Clubhouse comes in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
Hello, Bruce.
Aloha, Friday.
I worked just for that.
We knew there was a comment.
Everything else is in the wash.
I thought it is. Aloha Friday. That's a real thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
She is now.
Yeah. It's a real thing.
Cheap shot.
No. I thought you were just celebrating Aloha Friday.
Keep going.
Yeah. Normal thing.
Bruce, that right there, our friend Craig Counsell, the Cubs skipper, having a little fun with you yesterday at the ballpark. And maybe for our listeners, you could give them a quick background as to what was going on there in the interview room.
Yeah, so I was wearing my $200 shirt from Maui that I bought a few years ago. And it's colorful, to say the least. And, you know, I do a segment three times a week on Marquee. It's called Lounging with Levine, where I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt, very much like the one that I was wearing yesterday. And, you know, my media colleagues were giving me crap. And as soon as the counsel came into the interview room before the game yesterday, you know, he hits me with the Aloha, you know, Aloha Friday. And it's like, you know, Craig, All my other shirts were in the wash. Okay, so you know, this is the type of abuse that you know, we give and take to each other on a daily basis, and it's fun. It lightens things up. It's certainly different than asking counsel all the time what guy is injured and when they're going to be back, which is pretty much 50% of what we do as far as injury updates with the manager every day.
Bruce, tons of fun, and it reminded me of one of my favorite movies.
Oh, and remember, next Friday is Hawaiian Shirt Day. So, you know, if you want to, go ahead and wear a Hawaiian shirt and jeans.
That from Office Space from the late 90s, a classic comedy, and I'm sure part of Council's ribbing of you yesterday, but I want to see this Hawaiian shirt that you got in Maui. I'm sure it's quite a piece, and we'll have to maybe see if we could get.
I threaten to wear it again today and tomorrow as well, but everybody voted no on that. They didn't think I could turn it around as far as getting it washed and wearing it, so we'll see. But let's move on to some more baseball talk, and the real chin music of the week is the manager of the Chicago White Sox.
I was surprised. I was surprised but excited. You know, I welcomed the challenge and the opportunity, and just you know, couldn't wait to get going.
Grady, I think I asked you this in the offseason, but when you were getting big hits against this team for the then Indians, now Guardians, did you ever imagine managing the team at some point?
I never saw that coming. No, never saw that coming. But again, just you know, grateful for the opportunity, excited, and just happy to be here.
Was it a goal of yours at some point? I mean, when you got into coaching, to become a manager?
Honestly, no. No, I you know, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I just knew I wanted to make an impact on players' lives, on their game, and just try to, you know, be a resource and help out any way I could.
That's Grady Sizemore, the White Sox new manager. Bruce, and my favorite part of the Sizemore story and the ascension of him into the Sox manager's role is that You know, he basically was a stay-at-home dad after he left baseball, but he was so into the game and itching to get back in the game that he was able to take a position as a $15 an hour intern, I believe it was, with the Diamondbacks, and that's how he kind of got his way into coaching. That to me is the most fun part of the story.
Well, the real inside info and the news that hasn't been reported is that the White Sox try to contact Lou Brown from Major League to actually manage the team. But he's still at the tire place managing that and selling tires. You know, we kid about that, and it's interesting when you have a manager named that had no desire or interest in being the manager, and then all of a sudden you're identified by Chris Getz in the front office as, you know, we need a guy that's done it before, kind of relating to the players in a different way than maybe Pedro and the coaches had related to the players recently. And it's kind of like the White Sox players getting a timeout to come out and be a different version of themselves. And, you know, we've heard a little bit about that. That doesn't usually last long when a manager is fired and a new manager is hired. It's usually still, Mike, about the talent on the team. The White Sox have looked like they've played looser over the last six games, but the end result is they might be playing looser, but there's still a ton of talent needed for them to get better.
Absolutely, and a manager can only do so much. I know a lot of people love Sizemore as a player. I've heard him describe himself as a little bit old school in his ways, but what have you seen in the short time from Sizemore that he's been on the job?
Well, the main takeaway is that he's simplified things by just saying, let's go out and play some baseball and have some fun. So, if we win, we'll go to Dairy Queen afterwards technique right now. Uh-huh. Okay. And I kid about it, but it's really that. Pedro Grifol is an outstanding baseball man. He's an outstanding coach. He did the best he could under the circumstances. But in no way, shape, or form should that record be reflective of the fact that Pedro Grifol didn't do the job with the Chicago White Sox. This is a situation where top players got hurt at the beginning of the year. This team was not primed to be a contending team. This was to be a seller at the trading deadline. This was a team constructed to lose 90 to 100 games. Unfortunately, it's going to be closer to 120 or 125. And the reality is that when you do not plan, part of your plan is not to win because the talent isn't going to be there. It can go south of that, and that's what happened with the White Sox. So this is not about Grifol being the great answer for the future Sizemore being the great answer for the future or Grifol being a failure. This is about an organization that's reloading, trying to get better players, and be contending in the next couple of years. For a White Sox fan, it's hard to listen to this reality. It's hard to deal with it. Many of them stopped watching the team. I understand that. I hope they come back and start watching it again the rest of this year because there are some better players coming along. Last night, Mike, was the epitome of what White Sox baseball could have been all year, and that was with your number one pitcher going out there and striking out nine guys in the four innings that he pitched, and your number one hitter hitting two home runs in Luis Robert Jr. and Crochet coming back and looking like Crochet again after a few bumpy starts. That's the good news. The bad news is that both of them will likely be traded in the offseason to further the development and rebuilding of the Chicago White Sox.
So the Crochet news, not a surprise, but you think Luis Robert as well. Not that it would be surprising, his name's been bandied about, but you think that is a move that they'll make in the offseason.
Well, I mean, you know, there's three more years left on his deal. So The money, you know, it's a guaranteed contract for next year, two options after that. This is one of the best players in baseball, okay? He hasn't played that way this year. Injury certainly put him back very far. But what you saw last night, what you've been seeing with him on the bases, what you see in center field is a top five player in Major League Baseball. Would you love to be able to have him and keep him on the south side? Sure. If somebody is offering three of their top players in their organization and they're really good players, the Chicago White Sox are going to have to listen and possibly react to a deal in the offseason, where they're at and where they need to go.
I saw last night, Bruce, after the White Sox did beat the Astros 5-4, Astros fans and Astros reporters out on Twitter were not pleased with the fact that the Astros lost to the White Sox last night. But you mentioned it, a 4-for-5 night with two homers and four RBIs for Luis Robert pretty much carried them to that victory. It was nice to see Matt Foster back from injury. Chad Kuhl made things interesting in the ninth, but I wanted to play this bit of tape from Crochet because you talked about how dominant he looked last night, but you also mentioned the other odd part of it, and we all know what they're doing with him with the innings limit, but he only threw four innings, but he was dominating, and he had the nine strikeouts. Here's Crochet afterwards on what's going on with how he's being used.
How do you feel physically? You look fine.
Yeah, I feel really good. Pitch count was 60 tonight. Felt like I could have thrown more, but I completely understand the workload cautions that are going on with the five-day routine. You know, I've been preaching it all year and even before the year started, but it's been awesome.
You ready to keep going?
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah, just keep logging starts and, you know, at the end of the year, you know, see where the innings count is.
How important is it to get to 31 starts? You're at 25 right now. Is that a number that you wanted at the beginning of the year that you looked at?
I don't believe that I've ever had a year. Yeah, because in 21, I was on the IL for my back at one point. In 20, the flexor strain. So to have a year where I can, you know, get through the entire thing healthy would be, you know, just huge for my confidence, especially in this new role. And I think it would just further reaffirm, you know, the idea that we had in spring training that this was better overall for my health. And it's kind of been trending that way all year, so definitely it feels good.
Garrett Crochet, the White Sox ace, as you mentioned, Bruce, likely for only another 6 weeks or so on the field. But he's looked very strong this season. You heard it right there. He wants to finish strong. He wants to make all his starts. It's just odd. I can't remember seeing this. I mean, you've heard of them taking it easy with young pitchers as they get up there in innings, but it's just it's odd from a baseball standpoint that your starter goes out there and you're only expecting to see him for three or four innings.
Well, it's odd in the sense that he's not an opener per se, okay? That's what he's being used as. He's
right.
He's a super opener, a guy that goes more than one inning but not expected to go more than three or four, depending on, you know, 60 is going to be the limit. That's going to be the number the rest of the year for as long as they throw him out there. Again, the one thing, Mike, that as people have never proved to me, and I don't know that there's data that exists that shows that if a pitcher comes back from Tommy John surgery 2 years ago, and last year he only threw in 25 innings total, what is the magic number? What are the magic innings? What are the magic starts for the pitcher the next year? Okay, this is the uncharted waters of Garrett Crochet going out there and pitching every 5 days, and everyone from Mr. Reinsdorf on down are, you know, looking at this, and it's a curiosity because as much as the White Sox are doing a great job of trying to protect him, there's nothing, there's no data that shows that shortening a guy's starts or shortening the pitches he throws is going to make an arm hold up more and longer than it should. There is no data whatsoever. So this is, there's a lot of magic, you know, rabbit in the hat type thing going on here. Caution is understood, but the result is it's interesting because there's no data on this, Mike.
Right. No, and it's funny, too, because we obviously know that they need him to be healthy in order to get that trade value back in the offseason, if that is indeed the way they go, which certainly appears to be. I was reading the other day, coincidentally, Bruce, an interview with Randy Johnson, the Hall of Famer, the great left-hander from the Diamondbacks and the Expos and others. But he was saying, you know, and he was famously a workhorse, pitched a ton of strikeouts, ton of innings, that he doesn't see how any of this is helpful to pitchers. Like, the amount of guys having surgeries, and specifically Tommy John, but arm surgeries now compared to the past is so much different. And for a guy like him who threw as much as he did and pitched as many innings as he did, he says he just doesn't understand the value of holding guys down on innings.
Yeah, well, you know, there are certain special athletes in sports, okay, Mike? Randy Johnson, Nolan Ryan, okay. Will Garrett Crochet be one of those guys? Those guys pitch for, one guy pitched for 20 years, the other guy pitched for 25 years, okay, with very few, if any, injuries ever, okay? These guys were animals, okay? They were special athletes where bodies could hold up under all of the stress for so long. Crochet is that type of body type. He can be that. The problem here is that he already had one surgery, which causes the caution of, gee, he had one surgery, he's completely repaired, but how can we prevent him from having another surgery or injury? Which is totally subjective, Mike. It's just, there's just no comps to any of this stuff other than we're going to be precautious, we're going to take our time, we're going to dumb it down. They're not wrong in doing it. There's just no data telling anybody that it's the correct way of doing things.
Yeah, it's definitely it's an interesting scenario, and especially because the Sox are going to try to trade him in the offseason. They need him to be healthy. So be fascinating to watch how it plays out.
No, I'm going to hold you off there, Mike.
All right.
The White Sox are not protecting him and watching him because they want to trade him in the offseason, okay? There's nothing to that. I guarantee you. They're doing it whether they were going to keep him for the next 10 years or trade him with the best interest of him in mind, okay? I know that for a fact. I know that from the people with Chris Getz on down, that they aren't treating this guy and holding him back because they want to trade him. They're doing it because he threw 25 innings last year, because he threw no innings the year before when he had surgery, because he's never started in the big leagues. All really good good reasons to hold him off. Again, what I'm saying is there's no data that'll tell you he won't get hurt again. I'm telling you that the caution is the White Sox caring for the player and doing the best thing for him, not for the organization in their mind.
Right. No, and thank you for clarifying, because this was the plan all along, as you mentioned, with circumstances. Obviously, they will look to trade him in the offseason, but this was always the plan with the pitch limit. So appreciate that, Bruce. We will continue to talk White Sox next. Their catcher, Corey Lee, will join us, and we'll hear from Cubs GM Carter Hawkins a little bit later in the show. This is Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito, in for David this week on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Score.
2-2. Got him swinging. Ball game. And the Sox end Astros' 8-game winning streak, taking game one of this series 5-4.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Final call courtesy NBC Sports Chicago. The Sox over the Astros last night, 5-4. Chicago baseball fans coming out to Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo Thursday from 4 to 5:30 for an appearance with Ozzie Guillen in 670 The Score. Ozzie will be doing a meet and greet in the sportsbook area and mingling poolside, so be ready to talk baseball. Lots of White Sox talk coming up there. And Bruce, lots of White Sox talk coming up now as our special guest joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois.
Corey Lee, nice enough to wake up early and join us before his game tonight in Houston with the Chicago White Sox. Corey, first of all, thanks for waking up early. Second of all, congratulations on the win last night, starting everything off with a big double yesterday. I bet you'd like to play in that ballpark. I know you did, you know, coming up in the Astro organization. That's a great hitter's park, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. They pull out fans every single game. They're super supportive. It's a great atmosphere out there. And then obviously you got the short porch in left field, and I got a lot of time hitting BP there in the off seasons. Nothing but respect to that org to let me to work out there the last 3 years, and it was a great atmosphere last night, and we get to run it back again. Hopefully, do it again.
Corey, a great night for Luis Robert last night. And also, as you're catching him, you had to be thinking how awesome Garrett Crochet felt, I'm sure, catching him and how he performed out there.
Yeah, they're both great players. Obviously, Garrett, I get to work with him a little bit more one-on-one. And we saw it at the beginning of the year. We've seen it throughout the entire year of how lights out he could really be. And him going through four innings and having nine Ks was really, really impressive. And obviously, on the other side of the game, Louis Robb is a fantastic hitter, and he's been working every single day to get back to where he needs to be and where he knows that he can be. And it's unbelievable to watch him work and to come in every single day and do what he can do.
All the great catchers that I've ever covered in my career, Corey, have had toughness and single-mindedness as part of the main characteristics of their persona. I see that in you. I'm hoping you have a great career, but I mean, is this part of the natural leader, part of the natural competitor that you've always been from the time you were a kid on and up, or is this something that you learned along the way?
No, I've been like this my entire life. I had a great older brother that was a catcher that kind of instilled a lot of those characteristics into me. And then obviously it's something that you got to be a little bit of selfless baseball player while you're up in the show, because as a catcher, that's the most important thing. Hitting's going to come and go, but something that I can control is my game behind the plate and how I'm going to interact with my pitchers, because I think everyone knows the saying that defense wins championships, and I'm a true believer in that. And I got eight other guys in the lineup that can hit, but there's not going to be another catcher that can go out there and catch the whole nine.
Corey Lee is our guest from the White Sox here on Inside the Clubhouse on the Score. And Corey, Grady Sizemore, a little bit into his tenure as your White Sox manager. We were playing sound from him earlier. He basically said, you know, this was not something he aspired to. He never really thought about it before, but how has he been as he was thrust into this role through the rest of the season? How has it been playing for Sizemore, and what has he brought to the table for you?
It's been incredible. He's been incredible for us all year, ever since spring training. He's been part of our team. He's been a guy that we can go to on and off the field type of things. It's just learning about how to be a player in the show. He's been there. He's done it. He's done extraordinarily well, and then obviously he took a little break away from baseball, and then now he's back into it. And like you said, he didn't expect to do this. I don't think anybody expected him to come in and be the manager, but it's something that we're helping him out do. He's helping us. It's a team kind of gathering, and we're playing for each other, and it's nothing but good things. And he brings a great aura, and I think it's someone that we can kind of look to as our guy right now.
You came from a championship organization, championship thinkers and ways, to the White Sox last year in an incredibly difficult situation into another incredible difficult situation. So what have you and your teammates learned? Because as a observer and watching you guys and covering all your games, I've seen a clubhouse stick together as teammates like it was a first place team, like it was one for all for one, all year long. And I don't know how you guys have been able to do that, honestly.
It's like you said, it's a family in there. We sat down during spring training and said that this is the team right now, and we don't know what the team's going to look like in July and in August and September. We don't know what the team is, but for every moment, whenever someone's in that locker room, that is the team, that's the family. No one's higher than anybody else, and we're just going to go out and play for each other. And I think that's the type of mindset that winning teams have and winning organizations have. And obviously, we're not there right now, but it's something that we can build right now, and we can kind of make a standard. And I think that's kind of what we're thinking about doing. I think that's what the org's doing. And like you said, we're really, really tight in there, and it makes it easy to go in the clubhouse every day knowing that you have guys like that.
Corey Lee of the White Sox is our guest, the White Sox catcher here on Inside the Clubhouse. And Corey, 2024 has been far and away your most playing time at the big league level, 97 games played thus far, with obviously many more to go before the end of the season. How, if at all, has it been different for you this year with playing a lot more and catching a lot more games?
Yeah, it's just been learning the whole league. It's been learning how to connect with my pitching staff. It's something that I was doing in AAA and I was doing last year, but then it kind of comes with another level of things when you're doing it up here. And it's the consistent playing time. Obviously, the league's going to figure out how you call games or how you hit and how you do things and just kind of figure out your game. But it's just about making the day-by-day adjustments, but just continuing to be the same player that I've been my entire life. And I'm very, very fortunate to obviously have this year and be healthy this year and just keep on learning.
So, Corey, I'm going to have to ask you about a technical part of catching, and I'll bring up your good friend and mentor, Martin Maldonado, who had so many great things to say about you and where you're going. But the technical part that I talked to him about and that I want to hear from you about is the new way a catcher's putting a target out over the last few years with a leg down, okay? With the leg down, it's obvious that a catcher has less maneuverability if a ball's in the dirt, left, right. So how does a catcher compensate for that when you have a pitcher that throws a splitter or changeup as a main pitch in the dirt with men on base, knowing that, you know, most of the catchers have their leg down regardless of the situation?
Yeah, it's kind of not one shoe fits everybody. You got to kind of work in different positions, see what's going to work for you. And I did that all of 2020. Obviously, 2020 was an unfortunate year, but I had a lot of time to be in the cage and be in the bullpen and work on what I wanted to do in that following year. And behind the plate, if that was hitting, if it was catching, whatever it was. And I had a lot of time to kind of digest some things on how I move and what positions I need to get into for certain pitches and kind of just test my limits there. And then obviously 21 happened, and I spent the entire year continuing to work in high A, double A, and triple A to just kind of hammer out the kinks and know what I can do well, and obviously continue to throw and continue to block. And it's just been an everlasting type of position, and changes go through one day by day. And I talked to Drew Butera, and we kind of talk about some things behind the plate and what I want to do. And it's just it's never going to end on the learning side of it. So I'm always going to learn something new about it. And it's just something that I really, really care about, and I think there's different ways of doing things, and then there's not going to just be one set way.
It's such a huge thing, Corey, because as we talk baseball here every week on Inside the Clubhouse, the catching position is one of the main positions on the field where, sure, we could look at your offensive stats, and of course those are important. But, man, you're dealing with those pitchers, and whether it's the starter or the reliever, all the different things that you do to control that game behind the plate, it's a hugely, hugely important position on the field.
Yeah, it's like what I said before. You got to be a little bit selfless during the game. If it's if you're not hitting that day, then you're going to go and put your mind down to catching. If obviously, when in doubt, my mind's always going to go to catching. I'm always going to be there for my pitcher. I'm not going to take whatever I do on the plate to behind the plate. I'm always going to be there and be present. But there's going to be days where you get to do both, and those days are they make it a little bit easier to sleep that night.
Sure.
In closing with you, Corey and Mike and I appreciate your time today. The one thing that I try to tell people about when it comes to Garrett Crochet is the attitude that being good is not good enough. And I think I see that reflective in a lot of the ways that you go about your job. When you talk to Garrett Crochet, just like I did after one of the starts where he pitched six, gave up three runs, I said, hey, nice going. He goes, not nice going, not good enough. I need to pitch seven or eight innings, give up two runs or less. When you have a pitcher like that, when you have a teammate like that, what do you get out of that personally?
It gets the best out of me. He pushes the best for me. I push the best for him. And like you said before, that's kind of what the name of the game in our clubhouse is that everyone's pushing each other. Everyone's working for each other. Everyone's not making everybody. We're gonna let you know if you need to work a little bit harder. You're going to get told if, hey, you're working really, really hard, good job, and keep on doing it. It's a thing that we have going on in our org, in our clubhouse, and I think that's something you want to play for. If you see someone going out there and playing and giving it every single day, it's something that you're going to want to do also. So it goes from Garrett, it goes from Louie, it goes from Gavin Sheets, Andrew Benintendi, Andrew Vaughn. Everybody in our, I could name our entire roster. Everyone's working for each other. Everyone's coming in every day to do good things.
Well, Corey, we appreciate your time on the show this morning, and let's make it two in a row tonight down in Houston.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
That's Corey Lee, White Sox catcher, here on Inside the Clubhouse on the Score, Bruce. And always good, in my opinion, to talk to the catchers. They know what's going on. They're one of the eyes and ears, the main eyes and ears in that clubhouse.
It's no surprise that a good majority of managers, both at the minor league and major league level, come up as catchers and are catchers. They have a different perspective. Bullpen guys have a different perspective. Catchers have a different perspective. It's always good to see the different nuances of the jobs that these guys do and see what they bring to the game. And I think Lee is going to be one of the very better ones in MLB. I just see the potential for him to be a leader and a catcher for a long time for the White Sox.
Yep, definitely a young man, 26, just turned 26, so a long career ahead of Corey. We have one more segment here on Inside the Clubhouse. We want to play you some sound from Cubs general manager Carter Hawkins before we give way to Gabe Ramirez. And a quick reminder that baseball coverage on the Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Cubs GM Carter Hawkins and some sound from him is next as we close down Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito, here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito, one more segment for us before we give way to Gabe Ramirez and then eventually Cubs baseball here on The Score. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And Bruce, some sound from earlier this week. The Cubs general manager Carter Hawkins talking with the media and talking about what the season has been thus far and really where the Cubs sit right now in terms of being in a hole with some work to do here going forward.
Yeah, and I think the easiest and most clear-eyed way to look at it is, you know, we've been a little bit below average offensively. We've been slightly above average on the pitching side, and that probably equals out to about average, and that's about where our run differential is, and we're about a 500 team right now. And, you know, we definitely feel like we can play better than that, but have enough to this point and got to figure out what levers we can pull to get there.
And Bruce, I know we asked our listeners before and during the show, what, if anything, they thought that the Cubs were contenders or if they are not contenders. The text response, at least, seems to say that Cubs fans do not believe they are contenders at this point. What say you as we have, 6 weeks left in the season?
Until you get to 500, there's nothing to talk about, Mike. Okay? So once they hit 500, they go over that, then you can start talking about this team going on. Until then, you know, they are who they are. You know, it's Dennis Green. You know, you just, you know, they have to, right. They have to get there. And again, Hawkins said it most definitely, you know, they've been a little bit above average pitching-wise, below average offensive-wise. You know, the one thing he left out was this is a team that has a lot of player development and a lot of young guys. It's been going well at first. It's getting better in center field. The catcher has improved. But there's no getting around the fact that there was four important guys in this team that were in young part of player development. And I think boding well for 2025, people don't want to hear for, but I think there's some players that are improving and that there is a trajectory that would indicate that some of it can be linear.
Yeah, and Bruce, to me, the most interesting and exciting part of this for the long term is that 8-9 of PCA and Amaya, because they have really been improved of late. They have been hitting of late, whereas that was kind of a dead part of the lineup before.
Absolutely. Mike, we have people to thank, including Jameson Taillon of the Chicago Cubs, Danny Parkins bidding farewell after doing such a great job at the score for 7 years and doing his tremendous part in this Cubs weekend of raising funds for cancer and cancer research. Also, Corey Lee of the White Sox. You did a great job, Mike. Tyler, great job producing. People can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine on our website at 670thescore.com. Thanks again.
My pleasure, Bruce. Thanks to you. Thanks to Tyler Farengol. And again, CubsForACure.com as the Cubs try to raise money and we try to raise money for cancer research. The goal is $1 million. CubsForACure.com. We're at 650 right now. So let's get there and get that done. Our buddy Gabe Ramirez is coming up next, and then at 12:45, it's Cubs baseball. Zach will have your pregame. It's Justin Steele and Chris Bassett today, 12:45 pre, 1:20 first pitch. So we'll look forward to that. Again, stick around for Gabe Ramirez. He's coming up next right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito, one more segment for us before we give way to Gabe Ramirez and then eventually Cubs baseball here on The Score. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And Bruce, some sound from earlier this week, the Cubs general manager Carter Hawkins talking with the media and talking about what the season has been thus far and really where the Cubs sit right now in terms of being in a hole with some work to do here going forward.
Yeah, and I think the easiest and most clear-eyed way to look at it is, you know, we've been a little bit below average offensively. We've been slightly above average on the pitching side, and that probably equals out to about average, and that's about where our run differential is, and we're about a 500 team right now. And, you know, we definitely feel like we can play better than that, but have enough to this point and got to figure out what levers we can pull to get there.
Then, Bruce, I know we asked our listeners before and during the show, what, if anything, they thought that the Cubs were contenders or if they are not contenders. The text response, at least, seems to say that Cubs fans do not believe they're contenders at this point. What say you as we have, 6 weeks left in the season?
Until you get to 500, there's nothing to talk about, Mike. Okay? So once they hit 500, they go over that, then you can start talking about this team going on. Until then, you know, they are who they are. You know, it's Dennis Green. You know, you just, you know, they have to, they have to get there. And again, Hawkins said it most definitely, you know, they've been a little bit above average pitching-wise, below average offensive-wise. You know, the one thing he left out was this is a team that has a lot of player development and a lot of young guys. It's been going well at first. It's getting better in center field. The catcher has improved. But there's no getting around the fact that there was four guys, four important guys in this team that were in young part of player development. And I think boding well for 2025, people don't want to hear for, but I think there's some players that are improving and that there is a trajectory that would indicate that some of it can be linear.
Yeah, and Bruce, to me, the most interesting and exciting part of this for the long term is that 8-9 of PCA and Amaya, because they have really been improved of late. They have been hitting of late, whereas that was kind of a dead part of the lineup before.
Absolutely. Mike, we have people to thank, including Jameson Taillon of the Chicago Cubs, Danny Parkins bidding farewell after doing such a great job at the score for 7 years and doing his tremendous part in this Cubs weekend of raising funds for cancer and cancer research. Also, Corey Lee of the White Sox. You did a great job, Mike. Tyler, great job producing. People can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine on our website at 670thescore.com. Thanks again.
My pleasure, Bruce. Thanks to you. Thanks to Tyler Farengel. And again, CubsForACure.com as the Cubs try to raise money and we try to raise money for cancer research. The goal is $1 million. CubsForACure.com. We're at 650 right now. So let's get there and get that done. Our buddy Gabe Ramirez is coming up next, and then at 12:45, it's Cubs baseball. Zach will have your pregame. It's Justin Steele and Chris Bassett today, 12:45 pre, 1:20 first pitch. So we'll look forward to that. Again, stick around for Gabe Ramirez. He's coming up next right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.